listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Red Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
It's a new day if you want it to be. You can always start your day over, they say. We're starting our day over today. I got Michael Velarde on the line. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Hey, great, Red. Hey, thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you here this morning.
Thank you very much. Now, Michael Velarde, of course, is not an FBI, IRS agent, right?
Yes, that's correct. The
IRS agent. You actually have your proof of IRS right in front of you, right?
There
you
go. I'm a retired criminal investigator. There's the badge and there's the credentials and...
Cool. Yep. Criminal investigator. That sounds like fun. Like, you know, so anyway, the title of his book is The Time of His Coming. And he's not talking about him. He's talking about his Messiah, Jesus. Yes. The Time of His Coming, the final chapter by Michael Velarde. And is this book a novel, a fiction based on truth, or is it a nonfiction? What's this all about, Michael?
Well, you know what it is? I wanted to make Bible prophecy easy to people. I found there wasn't a lot of good teaching on it. You know, there's always a debate, pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. Well, I started studying when I was assigned to a drug task force when I was on the job. And as a result of that, I had to go to the west side of Manhattan. And it was a 3-hour drive from my house. So I had to live with my cousins. Rented apartment from my cousins for a couple of years. And while I was there in my spare time, I started writing the book. And I was studying Arthur Bloomfield. Now, Arthur Bloomfield has a lot of books. This is one of them, Understanding Revelation, the signs of His Coming, How to Recognize the Antichrist. And I found that he was the most astute author when it came to eschatology. So I took his stuff and made it a little simpler, and I put everything in order and sequence. So in this particular book, the final chapter, what we have is our main character is a Secret Service agent who has the opportunity to meet the Antichrist. So it's based on biblical truth, but of course it's put in the form of a diary. And how this particular Secret Service agent that has to protect the Antichrist at the UN meeting, and all the signs that are happening at that time. All right. So I want to make it easy for people to understand Bible prophecy. So it's about God's character and nature. I took his character and nature. I took the biblical scriptures. I put them together with all my research that I did 30 years worth of studying it since 1979. And I think I've done that. I think I've accomplished the goal because, you know, when we start going to scriptures and stop me whenever you want, but Daniel 12:4 tells us the angel Gabriel appears to Daniel and he says, keep this book secret to the time of the end. How do you keep something secret to the time of the end when everybody's reading it? Well, the only way to do that is a false assumption. And what I found that false assumption was that you have the rapture, the catching up of the saints, and then you go immediately into the Daniel 70th week, which is where God's judgment comes and where his mercy and grace goes back to Israel and Israel alone. And what I found when we go to Revelation, the 5th chapter, we see that when the woman, right, she gives birth to a male child and that male child is caught up to heaven, and then the rest of the church, the rest is running into the wilderness where for 1260 days, God's going to protect her. But that 1260 day period is the end of the dispensation of grace. And when that 1260 days is over, what do we see? We see Revelation 7:9, where you see all the saints are in heaven. And John is up there and he says, where did all these people come from? And he says, well, you know, these are the ones that came out of great tribulation. And earlier in that chapter, we see the 12,000 Jews being sealed for God's judgments that are to come. And of course, his first judgment is the burning up of a third of the land, a third of the grass. I mean, we see tremendous judgments that come after that, which call the trumpet judgments. Now, the seal judgments, which come before the trumpet judgments, are all a result of the Antichrist coming to earth. He takes peace from the earth. Then because the peace is taken, you have war, you have inflation. And the inflation then leads to disease, and many people are killed. 25% of the world's inhabitants are killed. So I wanted people to understand this. And I just gave a sermon in Pakistan via Zoom on what's called the two sets of saints, right? Jesus said, watch and pray that you're accounted worthy. You have the overcoming saints. They're found in Revelation 3:10, where God says, where the Bible says, because you've overcome, I'll keep you from this hour of tribulation that's coming upon the whole earth. But then you have the saints don't have oil in their lamps. And we see those in Matthew 25. In Matthew 25, we see that when the bridegroom comes, half of the brides have oil in their lamp and are ready for him. The other half are not. Well, those are the ones that are left behind. And as I was doing the book, you know, God showed me something. And this is a particular scripture that's found only in one place. And it shows what God's plan is really for the future. And it's how the church actually started. And that's Matthew 27, verse 52. Now, before we get to Matthew 27, 52, let me paint the scene for you. Jesus Christ is going to die on the cross. When he dies on the cross, three things happen. First, we see that the temple veil is torn in two. Then there's an earthquake that's so great that the Roman soldiers that crucified him said, surely this must be the Son of God. And the third thing, which is found in Matthew 27, 52, is that the dead were raised. The dead were raised. The righteous dead came back to life. And it says they went into the villages and appeared to many people. Well, what do you think they said when they appeared to those people? I'm sure they said, Jesus, who just died on the cross, is the Lord and Savior. Believe on him.
I don't even know they would know that. I mean, all of a sudden you raise from the dead and you're walking around going, what happened? I thought I was in the hospital and now I'm out, you know. I mean, did they really know what was going down and why did that happen? And is it because when God resurrected Jesus, now he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And right. We know that he brought, people were healed of, and multitudes, even Josephus, who is the famous Hebrew scholar and historian who was not a follower of Jesus, says, right. Yes, this Jesus did exist. And we know what the thing is, I don't know what amazes me about, you know, Jerry Jenkins, right? And Timothy LaHaye.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Jerry was on my show years ago before he was famous for writing. What's the title of his series?
The Left Behind series.
Yes, the Left Behind. I always forget the title. Okay. And of course, his son. Ironically, I had him on the air recently. His son is Dallas, who's doing the Jesus movie. And he says, pretty amazing that lightning would strike twice in the same place. When I met Jerry years ago, when we were both young and struggling, he'd been the secret biographer, autobiographer of, like Billy Graham and stuff like this, and he was being paid as a ghostwriter. But what amazes me is, though, Jesus did say this. You know, all this conjecture, there's such an attraction. Now, I have to tell you that, you know, Jerry and Timothy LaHaye, I mean, those guys made last I heard was $60 million each, upwards of $100 million each. They made a lot of money off of this. One good thing, Jerry says, I haven't bought a private jet. He's putting the money back into the kingdom, just like that pastor out there with the purpose-driven life. He's taking, money, which is a godly thing to do, I believe they're good guys. The only thing, though, is Jesus said, no one knows the hour of my return. Even I don't know. And so if we it's conjecture and it's okay. I guess it's very interesting to people. I wonder. I kind of just kind of let it all go and figure out. Well, what will be. But I do want to know this. Jesus, it does say that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
That's correct.
And this is where I get a little confused, because I don't know about you. I got born again when I was 29. I had a miraculous intervention in my living room, just Jesus and me. And I know that I've had contact since then. I also know this, that I tried to live like a monk for the first 7 years.
Right.
And
right.
But in all seriousness, I actually wanted to be, I said, I'm going to be the best son you had next to Jesus. Well, I utterly failed, and I still fail. I get mad in traffic. I use words that I promised I would never use again. You don't want to get angry. I am a sinner. So do I overcome by my testimony in the blood of the Lamb? I mean, you know, Paul said we cannot boast. If I cannot gain my salvation, my freedom,
right,
except by the gift of God, then can I lose it by my power? I would think not, because Jesus said, I will not lose one that the Father has given me.
Right.
And I know that he's called me by name. I won't go into details, but by name he called me.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So as far as I'm concerned, am I in? Even if I went out and became an adulterer, I might die young because of the sin nature or whatever it is. I don't know. That's up to him. And I may live long, too. It's up to him. I mean, he's in the end. One time God revealed to me, he said, I am not the God of destiny. I am the living God. And I think it's important for us to know, because people think that he's locked in and he can't change. He's out of range. No, he's in range. We can get into satellite positioning, which is prayer. And he is pliable, flexible, amenable. I mean, in other words, like, yes, there is freedom of we have free will. Because people say, well, why does God allow rape? Why does God allow war? Well, because, hey, there was a rebellion and God said, let's see how you get on without me. How's that working for you so far, you know? Not too good, right? So anyway, I think I've given you enough of my side to stir you up, Michael.
So absolutely. Let's go there. Okay, first of all, Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour. Absolutely true. Okay?
Okay.
Now, that is for one event. That's called the rapture, the catching up of the saints. But here's what Paul said. Paul said that this day will not overtake you, brethren, because you are children of light, not of the darkness. So God bases his time frame on Israel. Israel became a nation in 1948. All right? Now, one of my books prior to this book said the time of his coming, 2029. Well, why did I come up with 2029? Well, I use Psalm 90, verse 10. Now, in Psalm 90, verse 10, and I don't know if you have anybody as I go through these scriptures that could put them up so people could see them. But in Psalm 90, verse 10, it says that a man's years will be 70, or by reason of strength, 80 years. So we take 80 full years, and I added like almost a year to it to come up with 2029. From 1948 to 2029, right? That's that 81 years almost, right? So really 2028, but we're going to give the benefit of the doubt to people. So that means that because Jesus said this generation will see his coming, right? So whoever was born between now and 2029, the rapture has to happen. Now, it's no coincidence that the globalists have the 2030 agenda.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
Behold the Lamb, behold the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world, for sinners Christ.